Hello, Patriots. Let me know if you can hear me. Give me a thumbs up or a 5-5. Okay. We're going to hang out here. Let some people build. No, you don't get to hear me sing. No music tonight. These are travel logs. It is a long trip out to St. Louis. See if anybody shows up. They're like, Gart Barnes isn't on time. You hear that? They've got the highway divided. I'm in here in Wyoming right now. Man, I'm telling you, this is beautiful country. I love Wyoming. You gotta Google Wyoming. Google the Badlands and take a look at these beautiful painted mountains they have here. This is a bad road too. Okay, getting ready to go. Looks like we got a few people in. Everybody's good. Just give me one more thumbs up. Make sure you can hear me okay. I can't see the screen very well. Excuse me. Long day. It's going to be fun. You like that? It's all sorts of fun. Drive on this road. They divided a two-lane highway. It's pretty good. Road work ahead. All right. Well, that's probably an apropos sign. I should have named tonight's episode Road Work Ahead, because that's what we have, a lot of road work ahead. So, I tell you, it's been a crazy day. Getting ready to go to Bart's Fest. Bart's Fest, of course, is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We've all been racing to get these last things done, and there's always a crisis at some end. The one I loved today was that our payment system, Stripe, it's kind of like another PayPal if you don't know what Stripe is. They've decided to hold all of the donations that people have made while they evaluate the event to see if our Christian, God-loving event is worthy of them. Really not kidding at all. I had to pull over for like 2 hours today to send them justification on the event, prove to them that we were real. So this is just ongoing warfare against good people and the way tech works. It's unbelievable. We're in a really strange world, as we know, and we'll get to that in a second. We're going to talk a lot about kind of the way ahead, road work ahead. I like that title for tonight. But, you know, don't forget, Bart's Fest this week, 26th to the 29th. You can buy tickets at bartsfest.com. Buy them. You're donating tickets. You determine the price, not us. You're determining the price. And then you've got donations, if you'd like to support the event, and on there as well, they go through PayPal, so everything's good. We've got a really busy day, getting speakers lined up and finalizing that. People getting ready to come in, pastors are on their way. It's just like there's this big migration going to St. Louis, which I'm real happy about. Great security conversation today. We've got really good security coming in place, so be comforted with that. Probably going to be some idiots that show up, but we'll pray for them. We'll do our thing. And that's, we're all kind of just headed down a highway that needs road work ahead. Hopefully when we come out of Bart's Fest, we'll have repaired the road with God's blessing is what I'm hoping. then don't forget Mike Lindell. He's coming in on Friday, 26th. I'm sorry, 27th of August. He's going to be speaking. Spoke with his team today. They're excited. I love the fact MyPillow's coming. I like the fact they're excited. That's even better. And, man, I'm telling you, it's so beautiful tonight. I don't know if, I'll come back to Mike Lindell in a second. I don't know if you know Wyoming. It's like Montana. It's really big sky country. It's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful. Huge skies, expanse. There's spotted clouds. We've got a thunderstorm over on, kind of on the southeast. Clear skies to the north. Beautiful rolling hills. And it's just like open road, right? 80 miles an hour in this state. I don't drive 80. My Jeep doesn't like 80. My Jeep likes 70. So I can make my Jeep happy. 70 or 75. I'm not an 80 guy. All right, so Mike Lindell, you can get over and support him at MikeBillard.com or FrankSpeech.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. And that's... conversation today, and I'm going to share this conversation at Bard's Fest, and I'm going to share it with you a little bit tonight too, and it literally brought me to tears, and I say it's not like bad tears, it's God tears. I mean, like, it was really, it struck me very deeply as far as what I think that God would want of us, and I think that was something we have to weigh very heavily with. So right now, our enemy has at its hand the power of control of the narrative and the perception of what we see as reality. And one of the things they are exceptional at, truly exceptional, is twisting the narrative to always make us angry or to create fear. Kind of one of those two, one way or the other. I mean, it's fear, there's derivatives of fear, so you can feel down and hopeless. At the end of the day, that sort of hopelessness leads to fear. And then you've got this other side, which is anger and hate, and that whole fuel thing. And it just gets us divided. And the problem is, it doesn't divide us as much initially as it divides us from God. And they know that. Excuse me. And they know that. And they are constantly trying to keep us away. We talk about false flags, and we talk about all these events. They are constantly trying to keep us away from God. And that's who they are. And we have to get better than that, because we have to start realizing that we're not of this world. When I mean that, I mean, I say that, I don't mean that lightly. And we literally are walking within the body of Christ. And as we walk within the body of Christ, we are no more what we were. So we have to come to accept that this world that we're working in isn't about us. And I know we say it, and I know that we give some lip service to it, but the real deal is where the rubber hits the road. And that's where we literally can step into that paradigm and say, I'm doing this for God first. God's leading me in all things. And that's kind of our pledge. So keep that in mind, because we're going to come back there in just a minute, and I want to kind of frame this. So first of all, I'm going to give you a little bit of a testimony of my own, because there's a whole bunch of pieces of the story. It's kind of like we're going to walk a trail. This last week, I've been pretty hot on Afghanistan. I'm pretty doggone hot about the betrayal and the people. And something's been nagging at me about Afghanistan in a big way. And that nagging at me with Afghanistan is that somehow, and I can't explain it yet, but the media is sure going after the human cost of everything as if it's a legitimate source of news, which we know they aren't. They're not a trusted agent in any of this, and yet they're the ones fanning the flames about the human sacrifice and human cost. And the media turned on Joe Biden. None of that adds up at all. So I've been thinking about this quite a bit. I even bounced the ideas off of a friend of mine today, and I'm beginning to think that we're witnessing something completely different. Now, this is a theory, but I want you to hear it because I don't think I'm that far off. President Trump met with the Taliban. Something you need to understand about Afghanistan, which I know a little bit about, maybe just a little wee bit. The Taliban are a religious order, and there's some real dirtbags in amongst them. Some of them are trained by ISI, which is Pakistani intelligence. Some of them are the Al-Qaeda branch. Some of them were trained by some of the more ruthless ones in the Haqqani network. And then the CIA trained a bunch of assassins and ended up floating around the Taliban too. So there's like a whole bunch of nasty in there, right? And it isn't to say that the Taliban aren't harsh, but you have to understand something. Afghan law and Afghan life is very harsh, way more harsh than we would ever accept here, and way more harsh than most Americans could ever tolerate. But that's the way it is. So here's a little segue to that. And again, we're going to come back. There's a lot of little rabbit holes we're going to go down tonight. There were two tribes in the Helmand province. There was a girl and a boy. And they had, this is a true story, this happened about 2006-ish. And there was a girl and a boy, and they fell in love. And you're not supposed to see each other or date each other until you're married. But they did. They were kids. And they were with each other. And maybe they, I don't know what they, I think they may have had sex. I'm not sure. I don't remember that part. It's really not important. But the thing is that the brothers of the girl determined that the boy had defiled their sister. So the brothers of the girl then found her boyfriend and raped him. And then the brothers of the boy who got raped went and raped the girl. Okay, so this is just one big mess. This is like tribal vengeance stuff, right? Okay, so why all this means anything in the story today is that the one thing about Afghanistan that you have to understand is that everything ultimately is geared towards developing long-term tribal stability. And peace among tribes is one of the most important things that they do. So the tribal elders, and this is how Afghanistan works in their laws and in their ways, the tribal elders of these Pashtun tribes, these were Pashtun tribes, sat down and they negotiated a peace, a truce. And so what the truce was is they would both forgive each other and then they would marry the girl and the guy. So they would be married together. So now can you imagine being a couple where you were each raped by the other's family and now you're married together? And you're supposed to live happily ever after. Okay, this is how Afghanistan works. And as crazy as that may sound, or as foreign as that may sound, the key word there is, it is foreign to us, but normal to them. Okay, keywords. What you're witnessing right now in the news is abhorrent to us, the idea that we left and we abandoned all these people. But the problem I keep having is, while there's select violence around the country, the majority of that violence that's happening is happening right in Kabul Airport. So this is my theory right now, and I'm kind of leading into this whole thing of what we witness. The same people that are orchestrating, my guess is, the same types of people that are orchestrating the riots with BLM and Antifa are the same ones over there playing the same games in Afghanistan. And my guess is that they have fanned the flames of people to create panic and fear, to then create an incident where real people are getting injured, but the real problem is nowhere near what we're being told. All right, at least it wasn't, it wouldn't have been. Now it's a disaster because everybody's up in arms. They created the false flag, and they most likely created the false flag to defame the United States and to hide from the truth of what's coming out of the Arizona audit. this whole thing, though, is you have to remember that President Trump was negotiating with the Taliban. So was General Scott Miller. And we were doing it when I was there, even. It's important to understand why. You're not going to have a government, a legitimate government in Afghanistan, if you don't have the Taliban included. It's never going to happen. The Taliban have been told to us all the time, terrorists, 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 terrorists. The terrorists, half the time, were us. I hate to say it, but it's true. Especially the CIA. But the Taliban and the Mujahideen, of the two, the Taliban had more favor than the Mujahideen, and the Mujahideen is where the CIA stood up to fight the Russians. So I'm thinking what was intended was that Afghanistan, and to understand this, Afghanistan was never going to be anything but an Islamic state. We try to make it a Western democratic state. The Taliban were always going to be part of that government, and Afghanistan was likely always going to be Islamic, at least in our foreseeable future. So I think that the transition of power was to create an Islamic government with the Taliban heavily involved. And I think then they created the false flag to make the Taliban look horrible. Which then, I mean, now you're in all sorts of other problems. Because then then things do actually happen. And so I think that what we've been experiencing are the same dirtbags that produced the pandemic are trying to produce another major event globally by staging and fanning the flames and creating false flags. That's what I think. And it's not to say people, I want to be clear, because there is a human casualty happening right now. It's massive on a large scale. But keep in mind that this thing is focused, when I say large scale, probably several hundred to several thousand. It's enough. But to be large scale. But the concern here is that we are being, once again, getting all riled up. The media has jumped away from Joe Biden and also all of a sudden became pro-people. When does the media ever give a rip about anybody unless they have something to gain or their handlers have something to gain? So the bigger question we need to be asking is, what are they trying to gain out of this? And my guess is that the Islamic government that was going to come into power was probably going to be Western-friendly or Trump-friendly. And so what they've done is they've tried to mar that relationship to such a degree that we can never get back to that place. So that's not entirely true. But anyway, that's my general theory. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because we are all being manipulated to one degree or another about this narrative, including COVID. I don't know. We have yet to see the bodies of COVID. We just know that a lot of people supposedly have died. And there's no doubt that people are dying from the vax. And we have President Trump out there again pushing the vax, which I just think at this point is completely wrong, but I'm not in their strategy meetings, and I don't know who he's being counseled on. Anyway. But the other side of it is President Trump says take the vax, or it's a good thing. He got booed, so it kind of shows you where the patriots are in this whole fight. And here's the point we are at. We have been, and even myself here, we've all been pushed into a corner where we truly believe, well, not believe, we have a lot of angst and a lot of frustration over this other side, these dipshits that took the vax. I don't have anything nice to say about it. That's just me speaking right there. And they walked away from everything. They walked away from their countrymen. They walked away from God. They walked away from what this country was about, and they took the vax. And now they're out here going, oh, you need to be punished. Oh, you need to be rounded up. Okay. They've just become hand puppets of this globalist order. But there's not as many of them as there is of us. So here is where I'm going with this. The enemy only controls us if the enemy has power over us. And this is where this conversation comes in today. Because as we work through the conversation, and as we start to look at Gideon, Gideon's a good one. Gideon blew the horns, the shofars. Gideon broke the pots of light. And in doing so, the enemy ended up consuming itself. The enemy ended up fighting itself, and Gideon's army of 300 never had to fight. we're in a battle mode right now, all of us. And as we head into this week of a revival, we have to realize what type of battle we're having. This is literally, and I've said this recently a lot, this is our Lexington and Concord. This is our version of Lexington Concord, except this is a spiritual war. And that component can't be missed. Because it's a spiritual war. We aren't waging war with steel. We're waging war through the sword of the Spirit. So now follow me on this little rabbit trail here. If everybody was suddenly healed from COVID, the enemy would have nothing. I've made the argument openly and have made it recently that people need to have accountability, and part of that is that people need to repent and come back to God and leave it up to God to forgive them or not. But I'm not sure I'm right. And this is what my epiphany was today, and I think God's hand was on this one. If we were to pray for healing of everybody, that means that God would heal them. It means that God's grace would heal people. And if we truly let go of everything inside of us, all of our angst, all of our frustration, let it go. And we go to God and we humble ourselves before Him and we pray for the healing of this nation. Not just the healing of difference, but the healing of this nation in total. That means also the damage that they've done to themselves. We don't know how God's going to work, but what I do know is when God touches you and heals you, anybody that's experienced that is transformed. So if we're truly going to heal this nation, we need to pray for the healing of everybody, to pray that they will be touched by the hand of God in the process. Now, what happens at that point is not up to us. That is between God and them. That's it. But what I can tell you is, if this happened and everybody was healed by God, I will guarantee you, absolutely guarantee you, the majority of this population would be on its knees the next day. And that, to me, is what struck me as so profound. Because as we are trying to say, there's them and there's us, and there is right now. And as we're trying to push away from the vax group, because we don't want to be in the vax camp, what we are really looking at here is an opportunity for us to come together to pray for healing of this nation and to pray for healing of all in this nation, to truly heal the hearts, minds, and the bodies of everybody, and pray that God can touch them with His healing, the blood of Christ right there. And all this comes back to eyes on Christ. And this is where we all seem to bump around and we kind of get lost a little bit, myself included. So as we're bumping around, we're getting swept up in these various narratives and frustrations. We're forgetting what we're intended to do here. We're not of this world. But when we get mad and we start bumping around, we stay in this world. I don't want to stay in this world. I love the countryside where I'm at right now. I'd like to spend time in Wyoming a little bit more than I have. But my point being is that we literally have to go beyond that and realize what we've been given by God. We have been given life. And even in the end, you talk about it like the bottom, consider where we are right now, kind of the worst moment for humanity up until this point was when all of humanity turned on Christ and they sacrificed Him. And even in those last moments, Christ pleaded with God. He said, forgive them for what they have done. They know not what they do. Right? Humanity loses its mind. collectively goes against Christ, the Son of God, because we literally were that stupid. And in the process, God still forgave us. And now on round two of this, by the way, we're not openly standing here watching Christ get sacrificed. We're watching half of humanity suicide itself willfully, without even a shot fired. Like, there's an invisible virus you can't see that doesn't make you very sick, but it gets you a little sick. But we think it's going to kill you, and we want to give you a death shot that's experimental that'll probably kill you. I'll take the shot. He's literally suiciding himself. It's crazy. Our challenge ahead here is to walk that path higher than others. We're in a war for this world. And as dumb as taking the shot was, and I mean that everybody on one level or another that took it was dumb, because they didn't use their common sense. Just the idea that the shot was experimental and you're running out there getting an injection just makes no sense to me. Just at that level, not even going any further. The eagerness to put something in your body, inject yourself with something, blows me away. Again, though, how do we get people to humble themselves before God? We can go one by one, and that's a lot of one by ones, by the way. But what we all know truly in our heart is if God touches us in his way to heal us, we all know that's transformation. You're never the same after that. Ever. So I think we need to put some prayer into that. We need to get a focus going on healing this world, mind, body, and soul, on getting people back to the place where God can do the heavy lifting, because that's what he's supposed to be doing anyway. And we need to stop trying to do the heavy lifting. And we're trying to do a lot of heavy lifting lately. We're taking all this stuff on. You know, I'm looking at a little sidebar because I started with it, and I'll kind of come back to it. So here we have a whole bunch of money that people have donated to Bard's Fest to be used for Bard's Fest, sitting in an account at Stripe Processor, in the Stripe card processing system, that they won't let out of their hands because they have to determine whether it is worthy to give it out. I guarantee you, if there was a distributor of porn using their card system, they would be passing that money out left and right. But that's another story. So it's a heavy hit tonight. I spent a lot of time on it, and I was praying on it. And I'm like, okay, here we go again. We got deplatformed, kind of a deplatformed twice, and now we're getting this. It's obviously, to me, there's a pattern going on here. It's called like wage spiritual war on Bard's Fest. It's like, all right, bring it. But here's what struck me. You can't stop this. It's already happening. Bard's Fest is happening. I'm on my way. Hundreds of people are on their way, thousands. So, what did they accomplish? Nothing. They didn't accomplish anything. It's just this petty little antics. And the thing is that God is not saving this world through money. That's a true statement. The wealth for God is unlimited, but God doesn't need money to save this world. In fact, when you start hearing people talking about saving the world through money, you got to get a little skeptical. You should be very skeptical of that. Because God's not going to sit here and go, hey, Jim, what's up? Joe, Fred, Frank, what's up? I'm going to give you an unlimited bank account, and you're going to go forth and do great things. And not only are you going to do great things, you're going to save the world for me. It's like, really? All with a credit card? It's a debit card. Don't worry, but you can do it. That's not the way God works. Just nonsensical. The majesty of the world that we live in, when you drive across country, is just are not words. before this. It effectively described the beauty of the country that we live in. And this country wasn't created with dollars. If anything, this country was marred and cut open because of dollars. But it wasn't created with dollars. The beauty of where we sit right now is that in this land, if everybody, and I've often thought this, if you could take people out of the city, especially like kids, and you could put them in these rural areas where they could really see the majesty. Even what I'm looking at right now, which you can't see, but it's just this massive horizon. I'm looking out probably 100 miles on the horizon. And there is a huge storm ahead of me, and there's blue sky behind me. And it's just absolutely, absolutely beautiful the way that this all comes together. And this is all God. This is the beauty of how God works. I mean, God is everywhere here. And like right now, it's like you can look at this storm in two ways. I'm driving into the storm, so you just say, oh no, you know, am I going to be okay? Is the storm going to knock me off the road? Is my car going to make it? Will my tires not be good? More you can say, yeah, what an awesome experience. I'm about ready to walk into something that's totally cleansing the land. And it's cleansing it as I head into Bard's Fest. It's like going through a cleansing shower, right? So it's all a matter of perspective of how we do things. So we really have to get ourselves into a place where we change the perspectives of how we see our world and try to lens them in ways that honor God and honor our walk with Him. Yeah, there's just so much out here and so much beauty, like the rainbow to my right, which is stunning. It's actually, I can see the bottom of it. It's right on the ground, and it's wide, it's huge, and it's brilliant, the colors. We have the blue, green, yellow, orange, red, amazing. That's God's rainbow. That's not any other thing. So when people say, let's take back the rainbow, God just took back the rainbow. And when I'm driving along here and there's a rainbow like that, that to me is God saying hello, seriously. So it's brilliant. I mean, it's like I'm seeing the rainbows come up on the screen, and it's literally the colors are that intense. That's God's hand right there. As we're driving along in the middle of a podcast, boom, there it is. That is how this works. This is how God speaks, and His language is everywhere. So let's work hard at healing this nation, truly healing this nation. And let's work hard at coming together as lovers of Christ, humble before God, to pray for everyone, not just the, including the idiots that took the vaccine. I'm never letting that go, by the way. I can see it happening. God'll be like, Scott, yes, you called them. Did you say idiots? I did. He'd be like, he's shaking his head, going, you're never going to change, are you? He'd be like, no, they were idiots. I still can pray for them, but they're still idiots. You know, what can I say? So, this is a beautiful, oh my goodness, it got bigger. You can't believe how beautiful this is. As we're driving, this rainbow is like it's now arcing almost over the car. It's beautiful. What amazing. And that's after I said idiot too, apparently. Oh, there's a second one, third one. There's three rainbows out here. Man. Maybe I should say idiot more often. I guess it works. Okay, you're all idiots. Wow, three rainbows. Bam, bam, bam. That's funny. I'll tell you. Go loony driving out here in the middle of nowhere. I'm telling you, this is just, it's incredible. I'm seeing. God's here. He's moving. He's blessing this. This is his festival. We're going to it. Be ready. Get ready. Have your game on. This is going to be the most amazing week in the history of the world, I think. It's going to be incredible. So get yourself ready, Patriots, because it's going to be something to remember, because we're literally calling God, and we're going to be speaking to him, all of us, praying for the healing of this nation, and let's get this nation healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you for the blessings that you give us, the way you speak to us in your glory. I'm so deeply honored and moved, Lord, from the rainbows to the storms, to the sun, to the wind, to the earth. Lord, guide us in this path as we reclaim our prominence in this land, as your children, not in this world, not of this world, but simply here to steward, to occupy this land and expand your kingdom. Protect us, Lord, in these days ahead. Guide us to the greatness we can be. Allow us strength to come together, unify, and pray for the healing of this nation, all in this nation, that we may humble ourselves before you and truly experience the power of your glory in all things. We say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Storm's picking up, Patriots. Can you hear it? Wind's picking up, rain's picking up. The rainbow's getting stronger. Tell you right now, it's pretty awesome. Going into a storm on Monday, before Bard's Fest. It's got a nice metaphorical ring to it. Alright, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. This is a fight we cannot lose, and we will not lose it because God is with us. He's with us in all that we do. So, keep on keeping on. Keep those prayers solid. They connect us. They connect us with God. They connect us with one another. They give us that foundation that we need to fight this evil. God will never leave us, never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. So I'm going to get back to doing some driving here. Got a little bit of a storm kicking in. Perfectly timed, right at the end of this podcast. Lots of wind. I've blown across the open prairie. That rainbow just keeps getting stronger. The entire podcast, it got stronger. The storm is brewing, is right. Wow. Blowing the heck out of my Jeep, I'll tell you that right now. Man, I'll tell you. Okay, Patriots, I'm going to tune on out here. You have a blessed night. I'll let the chat run a little bit. I got to get back to driving. God bless, and I'll talk to you later tonight for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, remember, we're in this fight to win, and we're going to win it.